down Kennedy, feeling like a boss. Picky ring on, got me looking like a dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the town, paint on the car. We're here at the HUD Post podcast, the show that only matters in Hudson County. If you have another show, I don't know, turn it off, maybe. No, I'm just joking. Well, it's just love. It's all love here. It's all love. We're here at the HUD Post podcast, and I'm so excited. We have a great guest today. You know, we like to bring some individuals in here who are definitely an impact into the community, but I have an intro for this person. So, ladies and gentlemen, Hudson County, make some noise. From Jersey City to Hoboken to Bayonne to Union City, Weehawken, West New York, North Bergen, Secaucus, Kearney, Harrison, and Guttenberg. With every storefront, every food truck, every barber chair, every corner shop that opens at 6 in the morning, are you guys ready for this guest? Now listen, representing an institution that's been standing since 1888, 138 years of Hudson County businesses. I mean, come on. And he's the one holding the wheel. He has the keys to the reign. The politics degree out of Washington Lee, Master of Divinity out of Yale. He went from investment banking to running food rescue trucks with City Harvest and feeding people who had nothing. Guys, he ran a homeless shelter. He raised money for United Way. He built partnerships at St. Peter's. And then in 2019, he took the top seat at the Hudson County Chamber of Commerce. The man who built Hudson Gibbs from nothing into $5.6 million and 19,000 donors. I mean, we're talking numbers, Marv. Marv, we're talking numbers. The one who cracked $1 million in a single day this past May. The man who looked at three tax hikes stacked on top of each other and called them a crushing and unsustainable in writing. With his name on it. Like John Hancock. Yale trained, Wall Street tested, sheltered hardened, Hudson County to the bone. Ladies and gentlemen, Hudson County, the president and CEO of your Chamber of Commerce. Everybody, please make some noise for Emery A. Edwards.
Thank you. Woo! It's great being
You like
here.
That one?
I did.
Okay, good.
I think you left out East Newark, or did you get it?
No, oh, East Newark. I'm so
See,
sorry. Always.
I have to know all 12 towns.
You got
That's part
to.
Of the job,
See,
right?
Now he's doing his job correctly. Well, Emery, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Of course.
It. It's an honor to have such an amazing individual here who has such an impact for the people of Hudson County. I mean, I think we need strong leadership here. Hudson County is definitely a pillar of businesses from all different races, cultures, ethnics, sexualities, et cetera, whatever you believe in. And I believe you have an important role in that. And so thank you for your workship and for being a leader.
Thank you.
So thank you. All right. So like we like to do it, Willie, last show, he was with our guy. Do you remember his name, Marv, last show? Okay, well, that's bad. Anyways, Willie did last show, and now I'm taking over this show, and we got Emery here. And I like to start off, like, the origin story.
Okay.
Just like everything else, why are you so important? Why does the people of Hudson County need to know who Emery is? Talk to us. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? Where do you call home?
So first thing, I don't think I'm that important.
No,
I think the work I do is important, but I think it's kind of where you point the fingers, right?
I guess
it's not like where you point it back to yourself or somebody else, right? So that's kind of how I see it.
Okay.
I was born in South Carolina.
That's beautiful.
And I grew up in Georgia. Almost all my family is from Georgia.
Wow. Where in Georgia exactly?
North Georgia, north of Atlanta.
Okay. I used to hang out in Smyrna. I used to go to Marietta outside of Atlanta. Yeah, I don't know
I
if that's still northern.
Smyrna.
Okay.
But my family is like from way north near South Carolina.
Okay, okay. And then tell me about your family or like how'd you grow up? Like, because clearly, I mean, your time working with the homeless, I'm a believer in that, like, that comes from someone who grew up or was around someone who has such empathy for that. You know what I mean? So
well,
talk
I think
to me about that.
Because both ways, right? Yeah. Because, my mother was a school teacher. My father was a minister.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a house I grew up in. One of the things that was always really impactful to me, right? My mom taught reading to students in middle school.
Oh, wow.
So she sort of knew that she was the last hope
for
people to learn how to read before it was too late.
Wow.
And so she kind of brought that energy to things. My father is a minister, always engaged in town and stuff like that. So I think they rubbed off on me.
Yeah, I could see how that
that it becomes part of the DNA of like right. where you get to today of like, you know what I mean, being someone who was so important in that period of your life where helping homeless and then getting to a mm-hmm. point where, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. I don't want to skip you. Anything ahead. Okay, where did you go to high school? What kind of kid were you back then?
I don't know. How do you describe yourself as a kid? I went to LaGrange High School. Okay. I was in the band.
Nice.
So I was a band kid. I wasn't like what the did football you play? Player kid. Trombone.
Trombone. Wow, that's yeah. an instrument.
It is.
That is an
so that was,
instrument.
You know, I was always sort of, you know, the quiet kid in some respects. In high school and stuff, full of energy in other respects, but, you know.
And then the trombone, how does that come into play in your life? Like, were you just in class and they gave you the trombone, or did you like that?
That is exactly what happened. Okay. So we were lucky in town. There was a program where they would give free instruments to students.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, and what does it mean when somebody looks at you and says, oh, give him the trombone? Because I think they looked at my size or my face or whatever and said, here, you should play this. So I didn't that's really get a choice.
Yeah.
They handed it to me. But it was funny because I played the trombone all the way through college as well.
Wow.
Into Connecticut when I moved there. So I played the trombone for a long time, but it was just sort of like, here.
And
so
then you just
I
like,
loved it.
Were there any like specific trombone, famous trombone players that you started looking up to, or just like...
Not then.
Not then.
Trombone Shorty like was not around when I was growing up, right?
Okay, yeah. And because I remember... I started getting involved with music instruments probably like when I was around like 13, started playing some drums and stuff like that. But like, I love the drums. Like I love like the sound of the drums. So I was like, Dad, I want drum instructions and stuff like that. So I find it interesting, the origin story of also like when someone gets involved with music, like how did that happen? How did that go? And so knowing that, hey, you trombone. You know what I mean? That's so funny. Thank God I didn't give you a triangle. That would have been bad. Hey, yo, you a triangle. Like, what are you trying to say?
But it's also like, can't you give me like a trumpet or like something?
Yeah,
so,
I get you.
And they're like, no, your lips are too big. I was like, hang in a second.
Wow.
But it was
kind of
like,
thought of that.
And I'm not sure they were right. But
of course.
It's the way it was. It's like, here, take it.
That's interesting.
And so that was fun. It's kind of stayed in my life all the way through. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, there we go. Now we know.
It's also fun. Like, we have a member at the chamber, UCMP.
Okay.
It used to be Union City Music Program. Now
okay.
I know
United who they
Children.
Are. I know who they are, yeah.
They do great work. And
amazing
I think
work.
It changes people's lives because I think it does help rewire your brain.
It does. And then I'm having, like, thoughts right now putting my son into music programs, even though he's heavily involved in soccer and football.
Uh-huh.
But I do believe the music enhances your brain more and you get a better sense of like just life in general of understanding that you can make this piece of thing and make it sound beautiful by just putting your soul into it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So yeah, shout outs to say their company again.
UCMP is
UCMP.
Garcia.
Yes. I remember seeing them on Instagram and stuff and the kids and they came to the Hub Post 10-year anniversary show. I remember they were there.
Uh-huh.
So that was amazing. I love it. They were doing the Cuba, the salsa, the Cuba, all that stuff. So I love
They're
it.
They're honoring me this November.
Really?
Yeah.
You say I'm not important. Look at him.
I think the work's important.
The work is apart. I get it.
I am the messenger. I'm not the message.
I hear you. I
am not the
feels
message.
Like. I know what that feels like. Yeah. I know what that feels like because I do artist showcases for artists and stuff. And all I'm doing the work, you know, and people come up to me like, man, you're so important. I understand that sentiment of like, okay, yes, the work I'm doing important, but I'm just a messenger to be able to deliver whatever it is that helps benefit for you. So I know where that comes from. So
yeah, it helps me not get too big ahead.
Exactly.
So.
Same here. But I got a podcast, so that's not helping. All right, so high school, played trombone, even through college. And then, I mean, you definitely have your title. I mean, you're involved with businesses. So, like, for you as a kid or as a teenager, what was your first job that ever got you?
My very first job was at JCPenney.
Wow, okay.
And I worked in the sporting goods department. And since it was in Georgia, you know, we sold sporting goods, T-shirts, stuff like that, balls. We sold fishing gear. Sold ammunition.
Oh, you have to, yeah. It's the South.
So, you know, here I'm 16-year-olds working at JCPenney, like making sure people's guns and knives are okay. But it's like a different world, something
America.
I probably wouldn't do today. But like, you know.
Yeah.
But that was my very first job.
Wow, JCPenney. That's amazing. And what age is that? What would you say?
16.
16. Oh, I was earlier. I needed to get a job by 12. When I was 12, I had a job already.
Yeah.
Emory. My mom was like, you want this? You got. And then I started doing waitering, little busboy job at 12 years old, learning hospitality. So yeah. It's important. If you're someone out there whose kids, you're 16, you're looking at, you're watching this podcast and your 16-year-old is in the room next door just playing video games, get them a job. Can they get a job now at 16 in Hudson County?
Yeah, you can get working papers. Yeah, I just think in one of the things I learned there that stuck with me, that's really, really stuck with me. You know how sometimes they send those secret shoppers out to see how you're doing?
Oh, I hate it.
There was a secret shopper who came, and she was looking for a pocket knife. And I said, I don't think that we have this. I looked for it, couldn't find it. And I was written up because we did have it in stock.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, but it kind of taught me that at some point you really do have to up your customer service game with people, paying attention, making sure that things are going right, kind of being buttoned up in all areas. But that was a lesson that I learned that early in life that stood with me.
Those secret shoppers used to give me nightmares. I used to work in hospitality as a server, and yeah. I remember I got one. I got the worst score ever as a staff. The worst score. I got suspended for a week. But yeah, and it taught me, okay, I need to never always be at 100%. Don't even give 99. Always give 100. So I love that. So we go to college. You study politics at Washington and Lee, and then went and got a Master of Divinity at Yale. What's a Master of Divinity?
So I wanted to be an Episcopal priest.
Oh, wow.
That was where I was headed.
From your dad.
I'm sure. You know. But I got to the end of that road, and that wasn't the right path for me.
Okay.
So I moved to Manhattan after that.
Okay.
And got my first, you know, adult job.
But how was school? Like going to Yale? I mean, the politics at Washington Lee, does that have it, like, any input of what you're doing today?
Sure. Interesting because, like, I do think, like, it's a school in Virginia. It's a small school in Virginia. A lot of times people talk about political science as a degree.
Yeah.
It was a Southern school. People thought politics is an art, not a science.
Interesting. Okay.
So that was kind of the perspective. I think the Chamber of Commerce is probably my first job that I've had where I'm actually using my college degree, if that makes any sense.
Hey.
You know, all the skills you learn along the way come with you. It's just one continuum. But I loved it there and had a great time and learned a lot and clearly did well enough to get into Yale. Which was also, like, it's even hard to describe that experience. I think one of the things I value the most was meeting all the people and having these really deep conversations.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young, you want to go deep in some stuff.
For sure, yeah.
But you could be with a lot of smart people and just go hit a topic and run with it. It was fun.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, college is amazing. I mean, definitely is a, it's a, for me, I got lucky at financial aid, but college, I didn't have the normal college life. I didn't do the dorm. I just went to NJCU. Yeah. Shout out to NJCU. Went to NJCU for baseball, which is a whole other life that I had. I was a big baseball player. Got recruited there. But then didn't do the dorming. I just traveled and stuff. And I kind of regret that a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, I say that to say that I met a lot of important people that, you know, have an impact to where I am today because of college and university. So that's why we're here. So that with the Master of Divinity, did you end up getting ordained or
I did not.
No, you didn't? You're like, no, I don't want to do weddings.
Well, this wasn't the thing. I don't mind doing weddings. I am ordained, but not through the Episcopal Church. Nah, you know, I can do weddings.
You can do weddings?
In case anybody's looking.
Okay, there you go. Chamber of Commerce, we're doing weddings. Right there. Okay, awesome. So then you describe your early career as investment banking and strategy.
I was in the public relations side of that.
Yeah.
So I was public relations as my first adult gig.
Wow.
And so I was a writer. I wrote speeches. And this is going way back. But Andrew Stein, who was a city council speaker president in New York City, I wrote his speeches.
Wow.
So a lot of work like that in the back end.
How do you learn to write speeches? Like, how does that happen? You were just
my father was a minister, man.
Oh, there you go. It goes back to the parents. You know, I told you.
You know, you can hear people talk
and
pick up skills along the way. But I do think, like, one of the things is, like, I worked a lot for, I had a very weird kind of segment of public relations. My primary client base was commercial real estate.
Wow.
So I represented Helmsley Spear. Okay. I represented Harry Macklow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, some of the names you hear in real estate mm-hmm. were my clients.
Yeah.
And so that was really how I got Connect Chemical Bank when it was Chemical Bank. That's how old ago it was, you know. But that's how far back, you know, it's not Chase. But, like, there's a sense that, like, I had a lot of connections, a lot of work in PR. But it was really on the corporate side.
Do you say, I would say, how important is PR for any business? Like,
it's the whole
from small to big
thing.
Because I feel like a lot of businesses don't understand that.
Well, like, you know, if you go through the rest of my, if this is going to be This Is Your Life, and we go through the rest of my career, right? PR is like a consistent thread. It's like you have to know how to talk about your company.
Yeah.
You have to respond to your customers. You have to get ahead of problems. You have to know well enough about what's going on in your business that you can speak to it, that you have a good understanding, that you can tell somebody else what's happening.
Exactly.
If you don't find the words, if you don't find the way to communicate, it's pretty much all for a loss.
And that's if you want to be successful.
I mean,
that's if you want to have the ambition to want to be one of the top, you know, companies in the business industry that you're in.
Right. And it's also kind of like where I think people get lost sometimes today.
A lot.
Like
yeah.
If you get lost on, you know, public relations isn't like all social media. Like, you can be the candle queen on Instagram if you're making candles, da da da. But if you can't get people to walk into your shop, if you can't get people to your website to buy something online, you know, it becomes just noise. So public relations is a lot more targeted, not only to handling difficult situations,
for sure.
which goes with the job,
yeah.
but it's also about making sure that your business is successful, that you can find customers, that you can keep customers. Mm-hmm. And it's a very specific thing. It's not just,
I know,
oh, I can make a flyer.
Yeah.
It's like,
especially
way beyond that.
Yeah. Especially on now, everybody's making a flyer. Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses are doing flyers on ChatGPT and stuff. And that's a topic I would love to touch on, because I do believe that your business will be affected if you are using AI flyers. That's personal. I'm not saying that's the rule of thumb. But I do find that now we're in a turning page in promotion and PR of a business where once you're using an AI system, the issue is that when you use AI, everything looks the same. It doesn't differentiate your business or whatever you're doing. So I feel like if you're not putting in the work for me to understand that your business is unique in its own way, and you have a new special coming out, but you're using the same thing that millions of people are doing, I emotionally don't want to invest in the business.
But it's also like different from the 80s where my career started, right?
Yeah.
I'm old school. This is like towards the end of my career, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the 80s, you would mail out a press release or you'd fax over a press release and see what happened, right? Everything was much slower. Now you get to Insta, like one of the, like if you have a video that's longer than 15 seconds, people are already over it.
Yeah.
But people are making split second decisions about you and your product and your company and what you're trying to sell them. So if it doesn't come across as authentic, it's great. If you use ChatGPT or whatever you use, like
there's
use
a lot
Gemini,
of benefits to it, yeah.
Some of the benefits are like it can help you with the idea.
The idea,
if you can put all the words in that are in your head, you put it in there, it'll come up with a concept. But if you copy and paste the concept,
it
looks like you copied and pasted the concept.
There's workshops on how to use AI as a benefit for your company. I think one of the biggest things is using AI, ChatGPT, on organizing your finances, your bookkeeping, even creating your own apps and stuff like that. And it sounds extensive, but literally today and age is so different. I mean, definitely from someone who's been in the business for so many years.
Well,
what is your
have one coming up on September the 18th,
there you go.
by the way.
I love it. Because Emery's on top of it.
So if you want an AI in a workshop, we have one on how to develop the right prompts on September
exactly.
the 18th.
That's what I think. And that's amazing, because I think it's so important. Because AI is not going anywhere. But definitely just take advantage of the benefits it does. Just try not to oversaturate what it's already doing for everybody else, in the sense of talking about PR and stuff, like hopping on different podcasts. If you're a business that sells sponges, go on this podcast. Don't matter what, how many followers they have. I mean, that just starts snowballing and effect and stuff. I think the PR is a great thing we touched on because there's a lot of great businesses. It goes back to music, too. There's a lot of great singers, a lot of amazing producers, a lot of amazing DJs. But if you don't invest in your PR of what you are, why would I listen to you?
Or even it's about how you talk about yourself sometimes, because I do think, you know, a lot of people make mistakes in the PR aspect because it is about resolving problems. Because everybody's going to have problems.
Exactly.
And, like, it's how you handle it. Are you going to run away from it? Are you going to deny it? Or are you going to say, I'm not available to the media?
Yeah.
Like, you know, come up with your answer. Come up with a real, authentic answer and tell your side of the story. If you don't tell your story, somebody else is going to tell your story for you. It might as well come out of your own lips and people making stuff up about you.
That's right? True. And especially when, like, when the steroid era came out with baseball. And I remember I appreciated more when the athlete admitted that they did it instead of hiding it all the time. And it worked out for them. I mean, the biggest example is Alex Rodriguez. Like, my man's all over baseball. He's in every baseball thing now today. Still considered a legend. And he admitted that he used steroids. And it's like, I think as an American audience or as American society, we are apologetic.
Yeah.
When people are... you know, accepting and admitting their problems, knowing that we also have problems too.
Yep.
And that's the beauty of the science of PR, right?
Yep.
Look at that. Marv, we're doing amazing. I love this. This is great. But we have so much more to talk about. So then you went to City Harvest running food transport, moving rescue food to people who needed it. How does somebody go from banking to driving food logistics?
Well, you missed the middle part. So the middle part was my first job in Jersey City, which is a whole other thing, right?
Okay.
Was at a company. It's not here anymore. It was a bus company. It was Red and Tan Tours. It ran the number 10.
I remember Red and Tan. Yeah.
And it had charter bus service in Atlantic City. And, you know, it was on Tunley Avenue in Carlton up in the Heights, right? So... that's where I learned logistics.
Wow.
And I got that job through a friend. Like, a lot of people's jobs come through friends.
Always.
But it was great. But I was general manager there for a while.
Okay.
So that's the link. At some point, I learned logistics there in the middle.
And that's important.
It is.
So where we get to now.
It's a different head, right? Operations a different beast. You kind of have to see the world in, like, a 24/7 clock.
For
sure. You can't, you know, it doesn't start and end. It just always continues.
Yep.
That's a different skill, but there's a certain sense of, like, that's how I wound up at City Harvest, because what happened for me was I was able to put my logistics background together with what my, service heart together and use my skills in a different way. And that was kind of how I wound my way back to nonprofit work.
Wow.
Which is kind of where I went to, where I wanted to do in the first place when I was younger. I found my way back into it through a for-profit job.
Wow, that's amazing. Was there something, like a moment that maybe your mom or dad did that really impacted you to, like, you say to yourself, like, wow, like, I would love to do that as well. Was there a moment like that you can recall?
I think they're good role models.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's the moment that you're looking for, but I got to watch them and watch how they made decisions and watch how they prioritize things and how they position themselves with other people.
I love that.
You know, so I don't know if they specifically had that conversation with me, but I got to watch to see how they moved in the world. And it totally impacted me. But it was so much fun being able to take my for-profit skills.
Yeah.
And go into the nonprofit world.
Oh, what would make that fun? What would you say? What was, like, the...
Well, you're doing it for a purpose, right? And I need to be careful here because I do lead the Chamber of Commerce, right? But there's a certain sense when you're in public relations for the corporate world, or you're doing a lot of the for-profit work, which, honest to God, does not end if you're in logistics.
It's, for sure.
And the same was true for public relations. When I was working on public relations job, you know, there was no such thing as a weekend. I had a job where I was in D.C. or New York. I didn't know where I was. They could tell I could go to New York and, get on the plane to D.C. this afternoon. It was like, it's a relentless kind of thing. So, but the point I'm getting at was basically I'm doing, like, constant work to make somebody else a nickel.
I know.
Right?
I understand.
And so I just said, and you be careful about business because people, you know, one of your most important responsibilities as a family member is to resource your family, yeah. right? So I don't want to look down on that, but like when you're putting in that kind of work and that was kind of the output, it did not mean the same thing to me as when I was looking at the output of my work is, oh, we delivered 25 million pounds of food this year, or oh, we fed tens of thousands of people who go hungry, or oh, we got backpacks to kids who need to get ready for school. I mean, it's a different profit margin, right?
And the energy, the energy that you receive from that too, I can imagine is so much has such a major impact in your life.
It's a better night's sleep.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, talk about and then we went from that logistics job with the Red and Tan, then you went to City Harvest, and then you ended up running the Palisades Emergency Residence. Is that the same time as City Harvest?
After. So my next gig goes back in Hudson County, where I call home.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived here since, a long time. I don't even want to count. I've lived here over 30 years.
Okay.
33 years. But part of the deal is like, it's also fun to come back to where your home community is and you're feeding your people.
Exactly.
You're taking care of your people.
And what did that job teach you that still shapes how you lead today?
It taught me a lot of things. I think one of the first things it taught me was getting the right people at the table.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was really proud of at that job was it was a great board of directors or board of trustees. But by the time I left, it was a majority Latina.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was not true when I found it.
Oh, okay.
Because at some point, if you're working in North Hudson County, your board and who you're helping, you know who you're helping in North Hudson County.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people associated with your mission should also reflect that value too. So was really important because all of a sudden we went from a shelter that people generally don't like homeless shelters and they don't want to live around them or be around them. They get really nervous and sometimes for good reason, mostly just because they don't know. But when we turned it into a community facing organization led by people from the community,
yeah, major.
It was way better. The other thing that I think that I took away is you always have to stay humble.
For sure.
I've lived most of my life paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And you just see the people that miss the paycheck and then miss the rent and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And then also we had an after school program, a homework club. We got renamed a homework club so we could make sure that we met all the state regulations. after school come with a different regulation, right?
Yeah.
But the homework club, I was messing around with one of the kids in the program. He says, Emery, I can play at home, but I can only do my homework here. Can you leave me alone? And I was like, here's this kid in third grade who already knows what the deal is in a deep way. Because if he went home, everybody spoke Spanish and nobody could help him with his third grade homework.
Wow.
He needed us to get him through school. And so I learned right off the bat that even an 8 or 9 year old knows exactly where their bread is buttered and know how serious things are. And that was important for me because you're playing. This is like real stuff when you're an adult.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
real stuff when you're dealing with people's lives.
Yep.
It's real stuff when you talk about the Chamber of Commerce because business isn't a big bad thing. Business is like how your mom brings food home and puts it on the table. So all of this is for real. And that gave me a different perspective on life.
Wow. That's amazing.
Things you just take for granted.
For sure. Amazing. That was a great answer. I love that. So what made you move from the hands of the frontline work into fundraising United Way?
When you're an executive director of any nonprofit, all you do is try to raise money.
For sure.
You keep things going. So we engineered a merger at PERC. We found a place that developed supportive housing and stuff. So they were the back end to our front end. Garden State CDC was the partner.
Oh, yes, I know CDC.
Right. And so they do great work. And so at that point in the merger process, I was offered a position fundraising at United Way and then went on and did something very similar at St. Peter's, which, again, is making sure your community has the resources it needs.
Yeah.
which turns me on, right? So if I'm like gonna, if I'm gonna do the grind, me making sure that I'm making a difference is really important to me personally. It's kind of how I roll. But even at St. Peter's, you start looking. You mentioned NJCU, right? St. Peter's, same student body. 65% of our students were eligible from financial aid from the government, which is a really high number. 70% worked full period, half worked full time, and tried to go to college full time. So getting the resources in so people could get into school, get the experience they needed and the degree they needed to get through school, have, you know, little things, which are big things. Like we got a grant. One of the things I love rebuilding the library 4x4. I got grants to kind of work on the library. Nice. But one of the grants we got supplied scientific calculators for students in their classes. A scientific calculator costs over $300, right? And if you need it for one class,
that's
going to shell out $300 for one class? But you need the class to graduate, right? And so getting people resources like that just so they could succeed, it was awesome. I love St. Peter's.
Yeah, and I have it here that you also ended up going to St. Peter's and you carry that over. And then when was the actual moment that you knew that from there, I believe you start going into the chamber, correct?
Well, I do sort of laugh on that one. I don't think Dr. Kornacki would mind me mentioning his name. So I've been fairly well known in the community for a while, especially with some of the work I did here, whether it was like running the public transportation or the shelter, things like that. I started at St. Peter's and the president of the university came to me and said, okay, you're our chamber representative now. Wow. So I went on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce within my first month at St. Peter's because I think he was sort of at a time where you wanted to focus differently. Okay. So I got involved with the chamber right there. I was on the board of directors 7 years before I got the job to be president.
Wow. And like, I mean, I'm assuming like you're in this work already, you're providing so much logistics and knowledge and workforce behind, you know, helping the homeless and helping people who are in need for the resources. And does something like the chamber, I mean, for the average person, I think the average person are ignorant to understanding what the chamber even is, you know what I mean? Our average Hudson County resident.
It's okay.
That's why you're here, because I want you to explain that to the people, like, really how important that is, the Chamber of Commerce, because I know every county has their own, then New Jersey, it's all, you know, divided.
They're a gazillion. Yeah. But one of the things, the Chamber of Commerce is really designed to help businesses succeed,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, period.
And so, period. But our chamber is really interesting and different. You know, Hudson County, everything is interesting and different. Never runs.
I mean, I've said
nothing
it, first
works
episode,
in Hudson County.
We're the best place in the world. You have it right here. Best place in the world.
I agree with that, too.
Okay.
Sorry. I love Hudson County. This is home. Yeah. This really is home. But one of the things I find really interesting is nothing, you know, it's a little different from the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's really funny. There was that moment I realized, like, when did I transition? There are people that live in Hudson County for most of their lives and never transition.
Yep.
But I transitioned to being a Hudson County guy, and I love that.
Same.
But part of the deal with the Chamber of Commerce is the business community needs a voice.
Yes.
So that's one of the most important things we do. It's like you mentioned the tax issues. It's horrendous.
Yep.
There are people who have been fighting for survival. And we're not just talking large corporations, although they struggle too. But there's a certain sense. People are trying to keep their shops open, right? What do you do when your property taxes go up a cumulative 42%?
It's insane.
It's insane. What do you do if you live here? Like, and I hear some of the things that people say, but like the Board of Ed raises its tax rate, right, to help the children, but it's also got raised on the families who are trying to make choices about how do I get school clothes,
exactly,
how do I put food on the table, how do I buy medicine. So you're helping the children from like 8 to 3, but what happens from 3 p.m. to 8 a.m.? It takes away from the family. So
these
horrendous choices that people have to face. But we're here to represent the business community, to talk about people's realities, to try to make sure that there is an environment where they can thrive. The other thing the Chamber of Commerce does, kind of, you know, aside from the advocacy work that we do, networking. People are always trying to find customers or their next business partners, or quite frankly, learn how to succeed. One of the things, if you're starting your own business, and I think you did, right?
Yep.
You started your own business?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? It can be really lonely.
Very lonely.
If you're the
very
person
scary, yeah.
who's also making all the decisions,
yep.
maybe you want to bounce an idea off somebody.
For
if
sure.
you go to the Chamber of Networking and meet your people, you can say, hey, I have a tax question. Hey, I have a human resources question.
Yeah.
Hey, this happened to me. What happened to you? How did you respond? Because that way you're not isolated anymore.
Exactly.
You have a team. And then the other thing that we do is really about visibility. You look, you know, we're in the middle of a marketplace of 18 million people.
Wow.
People like to say that New York is the middle of that market, but if you look geographically, Hudson County is
for sure.
the dead center of a marketplace of 18 million people. How do you get seen? If you have a product, how do you get your product distributed? How do you rise above the fray? How do you get programming or professional development so you can up your skills?
Exactly.
Right? So we're also there for that so that we can upskill people. And the thing that's – I mentioned that we're a little different from other chambers. We have about 150 members that are nonprofit.
That's amazing.
Right? And some of that's because I come from a nonprofit background in Hudson County, and I
it
have my
connects,
people, and
yep.
they help. Right? But – we have one of our biggest projects of the Chamber of Commerce is we have Hudson Gives,
yes.
which is an annual giving day every year on the second Thursday of May.
Yep.
Right?
I've given my money.
And it's awesome because I think, again, Hudson County solution, you live here. A lot of people who live here give money outside of Hudson County.
Yeah.
Like, I love City Harvest. It was a great place to be, but... they only feed people in New York City.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So if you're giving money to City Harvest, it's great. But, like, nobody over here is getting food from that. So we work with our member, the Community Food Bank from of New Jersey, which is in Hillside, and they give food in Hudson County. Or you work with Table to Table,
exactly.
which gives food in Hudson County. So part of it is give where you live. Like, just like the Chamber of Commerce is shop local.
Exactly.
Stay local, play local. You don't have to go everywhere to enjoy yourself here.
I know.
It's all here.
Everything.
But when you want to participate in the community, give local.
Exactly.
Give where you live.
It's
right?
more
it's important.
Important. Yeah, very important. I mean, we've had this conversation numerous of times on here and outside where, you know, a lot of people just sleep here but live in New York. You know what I mean?
Well,
which
you know
is like.
I think that's wrong. And I'll push back
okay,
a little bit because I'll get really animated on this topic because I just had it before I came here, right?
Yeah.
Many people talk all the time
yeah.
that we're a bedroom community.
Yeah, no. And I hate it. I don't like
Jersey
it.
Jersey City, Hoboken. Weehawken, Bayonne, I can name all
the
towns
yep,
too.
Yep, yep.
Guess what? There are people who live here and they go to work in New York City.
Exactly.
Or they go to work in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go to work other places, right? But this is not just a bedroom community. This is a place of commerce.
Exactly.
It is a place where you can eat out, go out. There are bars,
live your life.
There are hotels. You don't have to go there, go across the river or anything. So I think it's kind of bad when people start making planning decisions.
Exactly.
Around bad assumptions. Like this is a study that happened in Hoboken a few years back when they're planning the parking. You know, people don't like parking in Hoboken.
Yeah.
It is what it is, right, to
yep.
a degree. So I'm not going to be part of that. I think they've done a really good job of working with what they have. Can it be better? Of course, we can always improve. But
yeah.
when they went through this planning study, they learned there was an assumption that people who were in Hoboken to shop,
mm-hmm.
like for stuff, clothes or whatever, were mostly local. They found out that over half the shoppers on Washington Street in Hoboken were coming from out of town.
Wow.
That changed their entire parking strategy because if you shut it down or make it all resident, there goes Washington
exactly,
Street.
No.
And so Mayor Bala at the time and Mayor Jabour showing the same commitment. They reworked the plan so that they can accommodate people from out of town as well because you didn't want to shut down the commerce that runs Hoboken.
Understood.
You know, businesses pay like over half the taxes
yeah.
in all of our communities, right? And so making sure that that is right and that there's a sort of vibe check at
yeah.
some point.
Of course.
But when people talk about Jersey and City in particular right now in the context of all these tax increases that people don't really live here, or they're going across the river. This isn't home. Go to Greenville. Go to the West Side. Yeah. Go to the Heights. Go all around the city. You can go to all six wards and find out the people who live here.
Who really live here.
Who really live here, who are born here, who work here, who have shops here, yeah, who want to stay here. And now it's not only their business that is threatened, because guess what? Somebody asked me this yesterday. Have you been to a McDonald's in New York City?
Me lately? No.
So if you go to McDonald's and you're like, you're a quarter pounder and cheese meal is like $15.
Absurd.
If you're buying it in Jersey City, it's like $12. If I go up to Union City, because it's across the street where my mother lives, right? It's like $10.
Yeah.
Why are the prices different?
It's the same burger.
Property taxes.
Yep.
Right? The overhead. So at some point, and I was talking to one of our members there, he was at a restaurant that charged $21 for a salad, right? Well, $2 of that went straight to the city hall at some point, because yep, people don't understand that when property taxes go up, it's not only the people who have houses. Now, your rent's going to go up, and everybody who rents knows that the property tax on the landlord, now their rent's going to go up. Now the sandwich you buy is going to go up.
Yeah.
Now the clothes you buy are going to go up. Now what do people do? Oh, let's buy everything on the computer and have it shipped in.
Exactly.
Well, now your local businesses who can't compete with a national retailer like that, they close up. So now this store is empty. Go down Monticello or Ocean and count empty storefronts.
Yeah. Right? I live off of Monticello, up, so I know
what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So there's a certain sense. It's not a bedroom community.
It's not. It shouldn't be. And I think that's the issue that I keep raising, is to let everybody know that invest in your town. Invest if you're in Hudson County, especially the people who are on HUD Post, who watch us. I understand the city is – I think the city – of course, has its stamp on like the culture and stuff, and it's the place to be. It's the hot spot. But literally, if we just turn your head and look straight into the ground of where you're standing at in Hudson County, we will become the hot spot. Nobody would have to go to New York. We don't have to, because everything's here. And I am a big voucher on that. Marv knows, right? Marv, I was going crazy the first episode. I'm like, why are we going to New York? I don't understand why we go to New York when we can get the same bacon, egg, and cheese. We can get the same jeans. We can get the same sneakers. We can get the same thing in Jersey City and Hudson County. And I love that the Chamber of Commerce is definitely behind letting people know that, you know, stop treating this as a bedroom community, because it's not. We're not. I don't believe in it. I never did. And we hope that we can change the minds. And all we can do is incept the idea.
And you also mentioned something else, right? Because I think the two, aside from the bedroom community, there's another underlying problem I hear these days, especially around the tax issue.
Yeah.
But in general, when people talk about the city.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I hear our leaders talk about the city, they're thinking about the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about the taxpayers.
No, never.
So at some point when you're talking about the city or the county, you're talking about the 800,000 people that live here when you talk about the county. You're not talking about an institution. When you're talking about Jersey City, you're talking about the 300,000 plus people who live here, not some institution. And so if you're saying I'm doing this to protect the city, to help the city, da, 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 it's not helping the city. It's not helping the people. So at some point, if we need to get creative, if we need to get innovative, if we can't afford the government we have, change it, reduce it. But at some point, it's kind of a weird thing when I have to say, oh, the city needs this. And I'm thinking, shoot, man, there's a sinkhole on Summit Avenue and Lincoln Street that's been there for 3 years. Like, that may be what the residents need.
Yeah.
So there's a certain sense of, like, if you think of the city as its people.
For sure.
And its businesses, maybe make different decisions than if you're looking at it as a corporation.
Exactly.
It's not.
Well, that's good. And then the Chamber of Commerce is, again, a place where if you're starting a business and looking for people to connect with, you have to get involved with the Chamber of Commerce. And so just real quick, I'm a person. I want to start a business in Hudson County. I should automatically just reach out to the Chamber of Commerce via email, website? I do? What would be the steps that I should
website
take? The
website is hutchinchamber.org. We have an email, info@hutchinchamber.org. Reach out. And the other thing is we can connect you to resources. There are statewide resources. There are county resources. Hoboken has a business alliance. Jersey City has an EDC. We're all here to help people survive and to thrive. I think a lot of times... The other thing I want to just kind of say is you're talking to start a business. You know how we have a lot of entrepreneurs in Hudson County?
Yep.
Guess what? Not everybody can take the hour and a half commute into Manhattan twice a day. So if you are, you know, if you're a mom or dad and you had to get your kids to school or back from school, can you take the commute into the city? No. Can you do a 9-to-5 job? Maybe not. Do you have parents you have to take care of? Probably not. So many people start their own shops and businesses. You know, they're not like they're described by some of our political leaders. They're trying to resource their families.
Exactly.
And they're trying to stay in the neighborhoods where they live.
Yep.
Right? Because that helps the neighborhood.
And plus they love living here. They
don't want to feel like they have to leave. And the dollars stay local. It's all good for everybody. But again, when you hear some of the talking points these days that make me crazy, you know, we're trying to make sure that people understand what it is to be a great place to live and work. Right. And so the work part gets lost too many times. But I would say the Chamber is a resource. The New Jersey Business Action Center is a resource. Hudson County EDC, Jersey City EDC. But we can be your front door. You don't have to remember everything. If you reach out to us, we can help navigate what your experiences is.
Awesome.
Experiences.
And you have a team, I'm assuming, that has that can help.
We are a small and mighty team.
Awesome. Can we shout out the team? Who's on the team?
We have Sandra Florent, who's in charge of membership, and we have Juan Arroyo. Okay. He's in charge of events.
Nice. Amazing. Yeah, let's make some noise for them, the team. I know what it is. I know what it feels like, man. You have a team. You have a vision. You know, you want to provide good for the community, so... I commend you for that. Amazing, bro. So I think we're getting down to our last things. I mean, I know there's a lot of more we could talk about. We're so limited on time here. But let's get into
it. If you made it this far through the podcast, kudos to you, right?
Well, if you want to have a business, you definitely should have been tuned in and stay tuned in because, my guy Emery here is definitely a key to helping you gain success. I mean, we don't want you to fail. We don't want families to fail. And the reason why families are upset about all the tax hike and everything like that is because they love this area. They love this community. They grew up here. And the feeling and the thought of that I might have to leave here just so I could survive is so threatening and is such a horror story. You know what I mean? No family should deserve to feel that way, especially if you want to run your own business.
Or think that there's somebody right behind you waiting for you to leave your house so they can take it.
Exactly. I don't want that.
It's rough.
I don't want that. You sit on Mayor Solomon's Housing and Economic Development Committee, and you also publicly went out after the tax increases. But how do you push a mayor? How do you push a mayor you work with? Like, how does that work?
Well, it was an honor for the mayor to include the chamber as part of his co-governance committees and to hear all points of view. I hope as the dust settles that he can listen more to other people's points of views, right? So that, you know, it's hard being a mayor. It's got to be hard being a mayor, right? You have 300,000 opinions or more, plus all the different businesses. So to me, it's not that hard to support the team and to tell what I think is the truth. Because at some point, it's about getting the city to be stronger, right?
For sure.
Same is true with all the other 11 cities in Hudson County. But there's a certain sense of we can share data, which we don't have to characterize anything. We can say, here's what the facts are, right? And look at make your decision. We have opinions that we will share. Everything is shared in love, as you mentioned at the start. Frustration sometimes, but at the end of the day, we just want to make it better. We want Hudson County to be stronger and better. We want all of the 12 towns in Hudson County to live up to their potentials, to be great places where people can live and thrive.
For sure.
Thrive, survive. Isn't that terrible when we talk about how do you survive? People need to get out of survival mode and be into thriving mode for themselves and their families and their working situations. You know, you kind of see it like and it's also, you know, what, JP Morgan Chase, one of the city's largest employers, has sent over 500, has reduced over 500 jobs.
Yeah, so I saw, far, I saw, I've right, seen the shutdowns going up, down. Yeah,
and so you start looking and like, I hear like in something we say to the mayor's office, like, this is a rough year, I get it. But if you keep going in this direction, next year is going to be rougher.
Yeah.
Because when businesses leave and employers or employees are let go, well, how do you fill the 1% payroll tax? Well, that goes away. The employees just left.
Yeah.
If the company leaves, how do you fill the ratables? Or what happens to the breakfast spot or the lunch spot that people go to? They're gone too. So it's a really important balance. We're committed to working with every mayor, including Mayor Solomon. We're committed to working with the county executive and their team. We have our point of view. We have our information. We have our truth, and we share it, you know, because we want it to be better.
Exactly. I mean, it's the only thing we want to do, and I love that. All right, we're down to our last question. Then we got rapid fire. If you can change tomorrow, like you can, in a snap of a finger, like Thanos in Marvel, you just snap and whatever happens on your mind, you can change. If you could fix one thing about doing business in Hudson County tomorrow and in a snap of a finger with no problems, it'll happen tomorrow, what would that be?
I would change the licensing and permitting structures for businesses. Did you know that to open a business, you need about $10,000 to get the government?
Yes, I know
before
that.
Before you sell anything. I think we need to let that go.
Yes, please.
And that way, you know, let people at least get their feet on the ground and give them a year to get it together and then go back in. But, you know, why are people taking out loans to pay the fees and taxes to the government first before they've sold anything? It's crazy to me.
That's insane, and I'm so happy you brought that up because I've experienced that firsthand, and that definitely gives it just a not good feeling to want to do business in Hudson County. You know what I mean? But the love is so powerful to want to do business in here. It overrides that, but it also leaves a sour taste, so I appreciate you saying that. Thank you for that. All right, rapid fire, and then we got to get out of here. My guy Emery has to run Hudson County, not just Jersey City. Rapid fire, I love to do this with every guest. It's just simple, fun questionnaires about Jersey or what you like, and just a quick rapid fire to see who is Emery. Pork roll or Taylor Ham?
Taylor Ham.
Already. He's on the list. Best kept secret of spot to eat in Hudson County. I know there's so many, but one that comes quickly in your head.
Andrea Salamaria.
Oh, coffee order.
Black.
I like it black, too. A little sugar, a little bit. Favorite sports team, if you're into sports?
Devils.
Yes! We're Devils fans here.
Oh, good.
We're always at the Devils game. Can't wait for our opening game. One word for Hudson County right now.
Oh, Lord. That's a tough one, my man. Potential.
I love it. Your favorite movie you've seen in the last year?
Oh, my God. Do I see movies?
It's a good reality check. It's a good one. Favorite thing to binge on streaming right now?
Man of the High Castle is what's on the TV.
Oh, that's a
right
good
now.
One. I think I've seen the promo of that one. Great one. Best advice anyone has ever given you?
I think I already told you earlier in the day, but I do think the best advice is you really have to pay attention to all the details.
You have to pay attention to all the details. If I make a t-shirt, I'll give you some revenue share on that. Your day is completely off, nothing on the schedule. What is a day off for you?
Sleep. Play with the dog, sleep. You know.
We're dog fam. I love it. I love dogs. I guess last but not least, what do you want your legacy to be at the Chamber of Commerce? What do you, when it's all said and done?
I want to leave it better than I found it.
Exactly.
Same Amen. Is true for Hudson County.
Exactly. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Emery here in the building, our head honcho over here at the Chamber of Commerce of Hudson County. Please let everybody know where we can find you and also any information on Hudson County Chamber of Commerce you want to let out.
Sure, 201-386-0699. That's our phone number, hudsonchamber.org. I'm E. Edwards at hudsonchamber.org. You can reach me directly. You don't have to go through hoops.
Yeah.
I may be a little slow on the response, but I'll do my best.
It'll get to you one or two business days, please.
Three or four.
And then I think that's it. This is your boy here, Eric One Day. You can follow me on Instagram, oneday.mp333. We'll be back next week. We got amazing guests. Make sure you follow at HuffPost at all social media, HuffPost.com. Thank you so much, Emery.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Great and that's here. Our show. That's our episode. We'll see you next week. Yeah. Bye-bye. Awesome. That was ring on, got me looking like a don. Riding through the town, paint gloss on the car. Blacked out the window, smelling half of the